MXT and Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, the Stand for Salmon Initiative aims to protect salmon habitats from industry development, but industry professionals are concerned the regulations are too stringent. Also, climate change's ripple effects are making themselves evident on land, too. Economists are trying to determine the damage to coastal communities when fish just don't show up. They're looking at what that means for credit ratings in some of Alaska's major ports. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Alaska law prohibits salmon farming in state waters. That's because the farms and escaped fish could threaten natural salmon populations. Now Washington State is following suit in the wake of a massive escape of farmed fish. Its Senate passed a bill last week to get rid of Atlantic salmon farms in Washington waters. It would ban the practice after existing fish farms' leases expire. Washington Governor Jay Inslee says the legislation is needed to protect native salmon.
We should be putting these millions of dollars into recovering native stock, not putting $1 million like we've done here, trying to chase Atlantic salmon to keep them out of our water.
A 250,000 Atlantic salmon escaped into Puget Sound from one of Cook Aquaculture's farms in August. A state investigation found that the Canadian company's negligence caused the farm to collapse. Republican Senator Judy Warnick voted against the bill.
I am very, very disappointed that the path forward today is going to be the closure of an industry that has been very, very good for the state of Washington.
Salmon farms owned by Cook Aquaculture employ 80 people in Washington. Its leases expire in 4 to 7 years. Industry representatives are telling Southeast leaders they need to oppose the Stand for Salmon Initiative and related legislation. The measure, which is being challenged in the courts, would create stronger protections for Alaska salmon streams and rivers. Power company and oil industry officials made their warnings during the Southeast Conference mid-session summit on Tuesday in Juneau. They told about 100 regional officials that the initiative would hinder development.
What's implied is that currently in Alaska, salmon or anadromous fish habitat isn't protected, and nothing could be further from the truth.
John Kindred is environmental counsel for the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. He says the initiative and somewhat similar legislation would require unnecessary environmental reviews. He says its new regulations would be unenforceable.
One of the fundamental problems here is that if this passes, you are basically handing the state 5 years of litigation. Given all the ambiguity in the proposal, all the gaps, all the contradictions, the state is going to be sued on this time and time again because there is no clear path for them to implement this without getting sued.
Backers say that's not the case. They say the initiative would update a 60-year-old law that does not give enough priority to Alaska's fisheries. The Alaska Power Association told the conference it also opposes the proposals. Spokesman Michael Rovito says the legislation, House Bill 199, could hold up new and updated hydropower projects.
It contains a grandfather clause to where if you already have an existing project, as long as you don't make any significant changes, you fall under your past permitting regime. But as soon as you make a significant change, you could fall under another, this new major permit.
Sea Alaska is also concerned about the additional limits on development, saying it requires too much regulation. The Regional Native Corporation is Southeast's largest private landowner. The business leaders urged the Southeast Conference to adopt a resolution opposing the Stand for Salmon initiative. The organization is already considering such a resolution, which will likely be approved.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Late last year, one of the world's largest credit rating agencies announced that climate change would have an economic impact on the U.S. Moody's suggested that climate risks could become credit risks for some U.S. states. Even though Alaska is warming nearly twice as fast as the rest of the U.S., its credit rating doesn't seem to be in danger. But take a closer look at some of the state's coastal communities and the story changes. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Rasha McChesney has more on what happens to Alaska's fishing towns when you add climate risks to their balance sheets.
Frank Kelty is the mayor of Unalaska. The tiny town is on an island sandwiched between the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska, near some of the richest fishing grounds in the world. Kelty has been there for 45 years, and lately he's seen a lot of changes.
We've had a huge increase in humpback whales coming right into the inner harbor by the road system, and just hundreds of them.
Kelty says people pull off of the road to watch the whale show.
They must be feeding on something. I don't know if it's krill or salmon smolt or what they are. So maybe their cycle is off too. I don't know.
Some of the other changes in the Bering Sea aren't as entertaining.
2 years ago, we missed our herring season because the herring had already moved into the area and left when the fishery opened in July.
In Unalaska, fishing is pretty much the only game in town. And when fish don't show up, Kelty says the city starts to lose money.
And it's our only industry in this area. And the trickle-down effect you get for jobs in throughout the community, be it the clinic, city workers, state of Alaska workers, it's all driven by the health and well-being of the seafood industry.
It's really not surprising that some of Alaska's communities rely on one industry to keep them afloat. The whole state has traditionally relied on oil to pay for almost everything. The state's debt manager, Devin Mitchell, says even though Alaska is at the forefront of visible effects of climate change, these things really aren't a risk to the state's credit. But the state isn't the only entity that needs a credit rating. Sometimes cities need them too. Valdez and Kodiak have them. The ratings help determine how cheaply a community can borrow money to finance things like big infrastructure projects. And in Alaska's coastal fishing communities, climate change is a very real, if not somewhat unpredictable, threat to the economy. Like, there's been this massive decline in the population of cod in the Gulf of Alaska. That's a big money fish in places like Kodiak. Mitchell says that's where he sees the most risk for communities in Alaska.
Is it just a normal cycle in the fishery, or is it something that, you know, this ocean acidification issue or warming the blob, whatever, is going to create a permanent situation? Is there an alternative fishery that might develop as a result of that, from, you know, tuna moving in or something that's a warmer water fish that the people in Kodiak are going to be able to rely on? Or is it, you know, the end of a community's economy?
This is something that fishery scientists have been trying to get a grasp on in Alaska. Beyond asking what will happen to the fish, what will happen to the fishermen and the fishing communities that rely on them? Stephen Kaspersky is an economist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He says researchers are trying to model the impact on fishermen as the fleets move around to try and keep up with the fish.
And then, you know, tying that back to where do we think the economic impacts are happening, you know, for this change in fisheries landings in these given communities, you know, how much does that mean for fishery support businesses, for processors, for people who support that industry?
When I ask Mayor Kelty about economic impact, he brings up pollock. Unalaska is the top fishing port in the country, and most of that volume comes from pollock that fishermen bring in from the Bering Sea. Every year, those fishermen come to Unalaska and spend millions of dollars on fuel and groceries. That means jobs and property taxes for the city. But there's evidence that pollock are sensitive to sea temperatures. Kelty says there's this concern that with warmer water, the pollock could move farther offshore.
It's going to have a major impact to our shoreside facilities because of the distance that catcher vessels will have to run, cause a major problem for the products that we produce.
Members of Kaspersky's team have modeled the economic impacts of climate change on pollock in the Bering Sea. They're expecting a drop in pollock catch in the region throughout the next half a century, and their modeling shows economic losses that could add up to billions of dollars. But there are other factors, like if there are fewer pollock, will the price go up? What happens if fuel prices spike? Kaspersky says all of these studies have caveats. It's hard to predict what fish or fishermen are going to do in response to a changing marine ecosystem. I ask him about the mayor's concern. What about the fishing fleet moving to another port to keep up with the fish?
Is there any place in Alaska that you can look at and go, that you guys are screwed 5 years from now, so maybe you should move somewhere else?
No. Nothing has come up that clear. I think, I think the mayor is right. These are big boats that are capable of doing that, especially in the Pollock fleet. Whether or not we get more fish processing farther north, it's kind of an open question, depending on, if it makes sense to open a bigger plant in Nome if the species are closer there.
In Unalaska, Kelty says it's not really a pressing concern for the city's bottom line right now.
We just did a $40 million bond for upgrades to our port facility. We were able to get the bonds, no problem. So this time, I don't think we have any problem with our credit rating.
From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A group of mostly fishermen is fundraising to build a Mariner's Memorial in Wrangell. Organizers say it's a way to remember those lost at sea. KSDK's June Loeffler has more.
Gig Decker has been a commercial fisherman and diver for decades.
Every single year of 33 years of commercial diving, I got the hell scared out of me. And I came close to drowning.
He remembers one instance when he was diving in the Alexander Archipelago.
I was following into a cave that was kind of interesting, and all of a sudden the lights went out. Before I knew it, I was in complete darkness. My head hit the top of the cave, and I thought it was all over for me.
Decker calmed down and found a glimmering light. He was able to make it out, but plenty of people don't. 179 commercial fishing fatalities were reported in Alaska from 2000 to 2014, according to the National Institute for Occupational Safety Health. Decker and others are fundraising to build a $300,000 memorial at Heritage Harbor in Wrangell. Brennan Eagle is the memorial treasurer and has been commercial fishing for 40 years. He says the site will be a 100-foot-long corridor with steel walls that display the names and stories of those lost at sea.
And then there will be a pavilion for reflection, for gathering, for ceremonies that will be at the end of this.
The memorial isn't meant to scare anybody, but it should remind folks of the realities of working at sea.
I think it's a great place to work. I've had a lot of fun on the water. I enjoy every day. Every day is different, but it's also something you really have to respect. We do as much as we can to prepare so that in case something does happen, you can deal with it, but you also have to respect that things can happen that are out of your control.
Aside from the loss of life, the memorial will note Wrangell's historical relationship to the ocean. It will note the different maritime industries, from tugboat transportation to tourism, that have served Wrangell.
A site like this can help us develop a sense of belonging in young people that are entering the maritime workforce.
It will also depict Alaska Natives' long interaction with the ocean, and the group hopes to publish a collection of stories from locals who've lost someone. Construction should begin in spring of 2019. In Wrangell, I'm June Loeffler.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KSTK's June Loeffler in Wrangell, the Alaska Energy Desk's Rasha McChesney in Juneau, and Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau. From KMXD in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.